is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is great to be with you. What a beautiful day here in Central Texas. But this message is being heard around the world. Each week we come here and we have a worship service right here on the air. Have a sermon, and you're invited to be part of our congregation at Bible Home Church. Now, right away, we're going to get right into it. We've got a beautiful piece of music here for you, a beautiful song by the Cathedrals. He saw what I could be. Wow. Boy, I'm going to have to give a sermon on that subject someday. You know, think about that. When a person, at the very moment they're giving their life to Jesus, they need to know that. A lot of people just say, I'm so rotten, I'm so corrupt, I'm so bad, I'm so sinful. Jesus would never consider me for heaven. Jesus never could forgive me. You're wrong, because Christ Jesus looks at you different than you look at yourself. He sees what you can be. And you know, he'll clean you up. You know, have you read stories about people who went up into an old attic and they found a treasure, but other people didn't recognize it as a treasure? It was, you know, caked with dust and crusted over with gunk, and they took it and they cleaned it all up and they shined it and they polished it. And, you know, there's I think they're more than legends. They took these things to antique conventions and so forth and were given tens of thousands of dollars for what had been abandoned as worthless, as utterly of no account. God is like that. He can clean you up. You can become that treasure. You cannot clean yourself up. You can't do it. Throw on all the baking soda and Tide and Fab and all the other detergents you want. You know, give yourself a power washer spray. Jump into 20 or 30 rivers and streams, but you'll never be clean enough to merit what God can do for you. One time I read about, I've read several accounts of paintings. Paintings that had been disguised. I remember reading that in Europe during the Nazi war days, an art dealer took a very famous painting of an Italian master and with paint that could be cleaned off out of, you know, some kind of a water-based paint, he painted over the master. This beautiful painting that he had, that was worth, probably today, be worth millions. He painted over it so that the Nazis, when they came into his museum, would not realize that work of art was by an Italian master. And they would just pass it right up. Well, for some reason or another, the curator of that museum passed away of natural causes. And there, hanging on his wall, was that grand painting by the Italian master, but covered over with other paint. And it looked like just a pedestrian, ordinary, run-of-the-mill painting by a nobody. But Judah, and no one, he would not tell anybody what he had done because he was afraid the word would get out. And there he was dead, and there was the painting. And a man took it off the wall and said, we need to update the new curator some years later. 30 years later, he took it off the wall. He put the painting in a back room. And, well, a bathroom overflowed in that place one day. And the water got up 5 or 6 inches high in that back storage room. And it ruined a number of paintings. That one got water just on the very edges. And the water-based paint had begun to just come off and show the oil underneath on the edges of that painting. And they looked and they said, you know, there's a painting beneath the painting. And they took and they cleaned it off and restored it, and there it was, worth millions of dollars. Well, friends, we're a little bit different as human beings because, you know, we don't start off as masters. We don't start off as anything but just old plain pedestrian dirt. There's a song I love by Dottie Rambo. She sings it so beautifully. It's called The Painting. And she says that her life was a mess. And it was a painting, and it was a picture of a person whose face looked so unhappy and miserable, and whose face was clouded with tears. But the master artist took his brush, and he painted a new painting. And it was totally different. It was the same person, but suddenly she came out beautiful and happy, lovely and fresh, without tears, but had a smile on her face. Yes, the master took up the brush and made that painting. Now, friends, Jesus is the master. If you feel like an old painting that's worthless, he can make a masterpiece of your life. We're going to have that song by the Cathedrals in just a minute. Now, we're going to continue our series today. You know, we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, no Zion without a king. That's right. I'm not going to be part of any kind of a nation named Zion. I don't want to be a citizen of Zion unless there's a king. And then, boy, count me in. What do I need to do to get in there? I want to be a citizen. And I don't want to be an illegal alien because I understand that illegals are not allowed there. You can only get in one way, the righteous, authorized way. Isn't that interesting? No illegal immigrants in heaven. Now, there's going to be a lot of pitiful, miserable people who are changed, painted anew in Zion. But only people who are willing to worship the king. And there can be no king in Zion but King Jesus. If you're waiting for another king, Jewish friend, listen to me. You're waiting in vain. The Antichrist will come and he's going to say, I am your king. I am your Messiah. He'll lie to you. He'll say it's time for the Jews to rule the world. He's lying. It is your destiny to be rulers. He's deceiving you. But there was one who came named Jesus. And he told the truth. And he's still alive. And he wants you to serve him. No Zion without a king, and no king but Jesus. That's our series right now we're on. But first we're going to have this beautiful song by the Cathedrals. I know you will enjoy it. And right after we'll be back with our message for today.
Of a place called nowhere, forgotten by you.
Judaizers, they try. You see, they say, oh, Jesus is going to come back for an earthly kingdom, an earthly Jerusalem. And he's going to choose 144,000 Jews that will rule the world with him. A Jewish kingdom on planet Earth. Wow. But he's not king now. Friends, listen to me. There are two kingdoms that you have to worry about. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, if you do, you're translated into the kingdom of God. And I don't care where you live on this planet. I don't care if you go in a spaceship and you walk on the moon or the planet Venus. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You're situated in heavenly places. And you're not a citizen of this world. You're just passing through. You're only a pilgrim. You're an alien. You're an E.T. You're part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is within you. Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, is in your breast and your heart. Sealed by the Holy Ghost, thank God. And the devil has no power over you. Do you understand that? If Jesus is not king of your heart, and if you are not a member of the kingdom of heaven, if you're not a citizen of it, if, as Paul said, we are situated in heavenly places, but if that's a lie, if you're not situated in a heavenly place, then you belong to the devil. You see, they try to make a specific location for God. They try to limit God. But I want to tell you something, my friends. When those saints were being burned at the stake during the great Spanish and horrible Spanish Inquisition, they were messing with people who were citizens of the kingdom of God. And you don't mess with the citizens of God. You don't mess with the heirs of the kingdom. Now, I guess I'm going to have to prove that, because in the Scofield Bible, and Scofield was a very corrupt lawyer, an adulterer, a philanderer, who came out with his Bible, and millions of people, including all the poobahs of the Southern Baptist faith and all of the tongue-speaking Pentecostal potentates all believe in this Scofield Bible, which, if If it had just stuck with the King James Bible and not gone into this Scofield commentary, watch out for those commentaries in those Bibles, my friend. They're not the same thing as God's Word, you know. You can get in a lot of trouble believing in Scofield or anyone else's commentaries. And Scofield, who came along at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th, basically said this, that there was going to be a great earthly kingdom of the Jews that Jesus would come down and be head of. Now, I guess Scofield never read the verses about the new Jerusalem descending from heaven. He never read about the saints coming with Jesus with the new Jerusalem. He still believed in the earthly Jerusalem. Well, I'm going to give you some verses today because I want you to understand this. Now, listen, I want to have as our theme for today a motto that I stole. Yes, I stole this, but I think they're going to be in heaven anyway, and they don't mind. I'm talking about many early Christians here in the United States of America. They had a motto when they fought the British. It was, "No king but Jesus." I like that motto. I'm going to steal it for my own. I don't really think they mind. In fact, they would love for me to steal their motto. I'm not really stealing because they're giving it to me. Now, listen to me. There can be no Zion without a king. No Zion, get that? No Zion without a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And there is no king but King Jesus. And that's the title of our talk today, my friends, our little discussion between you and me as friends, as fellow saints, as heirs in common. No Zion without a king. No king but King Jesus. Simple as that. Now all of the Scofield people and all the Southern Baptists and everything that are all mixed up, all the Judaizers will say, "Oh, be still my heart." They're out there trying to build an earthly Zion. They're helping the Jews. They're demanding that Bush give Israel $13 billion this very year. They even want to rebuild the temple so the Antichrist can go in there. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 24, he told Israel, "Your house is going to remain desolate. Your house is left unto you desolate until I return again." But all of these people are like, "Oh no, we can't leave Israel desolate. Why, we've got to help them defeat the Palestinians, and we've got to help them set up their great earthly kingdom and prepare the way for Jesus to come and be their king." They're going to build the kingdom. Friends, listen to me. Anyone who wants to build a kingdom here on earth without Jesus as king, you can't prepare. I mean, all these people were talking about for the year 2000, they were going to go out and win the world so they could hand it to Jesus on a silver platter. Listen, my friends, you cannot win the world for Jesus. You can only win individual hearts and souls. You can't win the world. You get what I'm saying? Because the beast has the world. But you're not of the beast kingdom. You're of God's kingdom if you believe in Him. And Jesus said of the devil, He said, "There's none of him in me." And if you're of Jesus Christ, you're on earth. Listen to what John said. He said, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." We, that is Christians, we know that we're of God. You can know. But that's not all. You have to understand. You may be of God, and we're only of the few. We're only the remnant. We're only those that seek the narrow way. But listen, the whole world, that means the great vast majority, lies in the hands of that wicked one. And if you help build a great kingdom for the Jews, the Antichrist will come and say, "Thank you for helping me build my kingdom." Because listen to me. Before Jesus comes, the Antichrist will arrive. And he will tell the Jews, "Oh, I love you so much. Here I am, your great Messiah you've been longing for so long. I know you didn't believe in that horrible, terrible lie about that Jesus. He was a fake, just as your Jewish Talmud, your holy book says. I'm the real Messiah." And Jesus told the Jews, he said, "I come in the name of the Father, and you receive me not, but someday someone will come in his own name and you will receive him." Daniel said to the Jews, yes, he said that to the Jews. He said that in the last days there would be this great kingdom on earth, and the king of this earthly kingdom would not worship the God of his fathers, but instead would worship a God of forces. These Judaizers are building a great earthly Jerusalem, a great earthly city and world capital for a coming strengthened United Nations. And they are building a world capital for the beast. They are building his great temple so he can go in and show himself as God and above all gods, even blaspheming our Lord Jesus Christ. They're helping. And many of them are telling the Jews, you don't even need Jesus. You have your own covenant. Remember a Jewish talk show host? He said, Tex Mars, don't you and I really agree? Don't we really believe alike? It's just that you believe that Christ has already come, the Messiah has already come, and I believe he's yet to come. So that really puts us in the same house. No. If you've rejected the Messiah who has already come, who is king, if you've rejected, you're not part of his kingdom. And Jesus said someday someone else will come with another name. Him you'll receive. No, I'm not of you. I have no part with this earthly kingdom. I'm not a bloody earth builder. I'm a citizen of heaven. Peter said, don't you understand? Peter said that this earth is going to be dissolved. It's going to melt with fervent heat. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, seeing these things, what manner of man should you be? Friends, that's very grave. Don't try to build an earthly kingdom. Just do the best you can. Go day by day. Live one day at a time with Jesus. And say, if it be your will, I'm going to do such and such tomorrow. But don't worry too much about tomorrow. Every day will take care of itself with Jesus. And if we can make America a better nation, that's great. And if we can help freedom reign in other countries, that's great. But don't worry about it too much because it's all going to come crashing down. And the Antichrist will come. And the whole world will admire him and say, who could possibly make war with the beast? Revelation 13. But I want to put to a lie this theory that Jesus does not now have a crown, that he doesn't have a kingdom. Now some people would say, well, if he's king of earth, then why do we have all this misery? Why do we have death and war and bloodshed? I just told you, he's not king of this earth. Satan is. That's why Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Friends, if you're so attached to this world, well, God will just let you live in it. He'll just let you become a citizen of this world, maybe, and then you'll have your own king. That's why in two different parables in the Bible, Jesus talks about those who rejected the king. They said, we will not have this man rule over us. But as far as Jesus, Daniel had the great prophecy. Listen to what Daniel said in chapter 7, verse 13, he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Woo! He saw Jesus Christ. Yes, Daniel did. He came with the clouds of heaven. Listen to verse 14. And there was given him, that's given to Jesus Christ, dominion and glory and a kingdom. Oh my. He goes on to say his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Whew. Man. Listen to verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Boy, that's pretty definite. If you're a saint of the Most High, you're going to take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. But there's more to come. So you see, you're part of the kingdom. And Jesus Christ has been given dominion that all nations, people, and languages should serve him. But some refuse. And verse 19 goes on to say, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Verse 21 says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. My goodness. Even after Jesus is given dominion and glory in a kingdom, and even after the saints of the Most High are part of that kingdom, are made part of it, and possess the kingdom, and will possess it forever and ever, then comes the fourth beast kingdom on this earth.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.